Good afternoon, everyone. Bonjour à tous. Thank you for joining us for the media availability on today's Transit Commission meeting. Merci de vous joindre à nous pour le point de presse sur la réunion de la Commission du transport en commun. My name is Kina Leclerc and I will be your moderator. Je m'appelle Kina Leclerc et je serai l'animatrice de cette séance. Before we begin, I'd like to go over a few items. As usual, please note that this media availability is recorded. A copy will be provided to media outlets for broadcasting purposes. A quick reminder for spokespeople to kindly turn on their video function when answering questions from the media. And I also ask media to please use the speaker view for optimal broadcasting purposes. And as always, a reminder to place your microphone on mute until I invite you to ask your question. So available for questions from the media today, we have Alan Hoogley, Chair of Transit Commission, Président de la Commission du Transport en commun, Wendy Stephenson, Chief Financial Officer, Chef des Finances. René Amilcar, General Manager, Transit Services, Directrice Générale des Transports. Troy Charter, Director of Transit Operations, Directeur des Opérations de Transport en Commun. Pat Scrimger, Director of Transit Customer Systems and Planning, Directeur des Systèmes Clients et Planification. Jim Greer, Director of Transit Operations, Directeur des Opérations de Transport en Commun. Brandon Richard, Chief Safety Officer, Agent en chef de la sécurité. Nicolas Truchon, Chief Executive Officer, Rideau Transit Group, chef de la direction, le groupe de transport Rideau. Mario Guerra, Chief Executive Officer and Acting General Manager, Rideau Transit Maintenance, chef de la direction et directeur général par intérim, Rideau Transit Maintenance. And we also have Daniel Halber from Vice President of TRA. So I'll now go to each agency in alphabetical order to participate. As always, it's one question, one follow-up. So I will go to CBC Ottawa. Do we have Kate or Joanne on the line?
Hi, Kina, it's Kate. My first question is for Chair Hoogley, and I'm wondering how comfortable you are with the risk of, it sounds like we'd be plugging in a number for ridership based mostly on expecting to get a bailout from upper levels of government, because at the same time, you know, the Ontario government is questioning right now how accountable the city is being financially with taxpayer money on transit. So I'm wondering how comfortable you are with this risk.
Thank you, Kate, and thank you for the opportunity to explain where I get my comfort from. It's not the number that gives me the comfort. What it is the plan A, B, and C as to what we're going to do if we don't meet that target. That's where I get the comfort. I know that we have plans in place that if there's a shortfall in that estimate, which nobody's arguing, it has the potential to be shorter. If that's the case, we have ways to offset that.
Just in light of what's been going on at Queen's Park?
No, that's so. Okay. The Queen's Park, how does Queen's Park tie into the 82% budget number? Sorry, I thought you were asking me about that 82.
I am. It's just this notion that, you know, they're questioning how accountable the city is being.
Oh, I'm fine with that. Like, you know, it's, I don't know how anybody could be surprised that the premier wouldn't go that route, because he's all about accountability for the taxpayers. What I'm hoping comes out of this is that the province wants to work with us, you know, whether it's at the auditor general level, that they do some sort of joint audit or shared resources, that kind of a thing. I think there's lots of different opportunities where we can work together on this. You know, we bring in, you know, some of the best in the world, like TRA is on site. That costs us money. So if the province wants to help contribute to us bringing in all these resources to help right the ship, if I can use that term, then I welcome that. I think it's a good thing. And I'm optimistic that that's the way the provincial government will see it.
My second question had to do with your motion about the fare freeze until 15 trains are online. When, and it's to you, but also to René Amilcar, just wondering, I mean, if we're aiming for 11 by the end of the month, how long do you see freezing fares then? I mean, could it be well into next year before you're expecting 15 trains?
That might be a better question to go to RTG, RTM, when they think they're going to get the 15 trains. But what I would say to that is that they may project the date to you, but then we need some time after that date, as we did with this soft launch of 7 and what we're doing with the December date. We may need some additional time to do some testing and make sure that we're good to launch for that. But in the meantime, we're able to offer up an acknowledgement to our ridership that this is an inconvenience to them. And so, you know, we'll freeze that fare for as long as it takes. But I'll finish with this, Kate. I bet if you ask every single rider, they would tell you they'd rather have the 15 trains than the fare freeze.
Do we have a sense, though, at MMLCAR, of when, you know, post-pandemic we would, you said it was a pandemic contingent, 11 trains, but when you could see 15 back?
We're working very close to RTG to increase those cars. And hopefully it will be on the first, at the beginning of the next year. But I'm confident to have 11 at the end of this month. So it will be a good news for our customers.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We'll now be going to Alex Gouge at City News Ottawa.
Hello, my question is for Chair Hubley. How confident are you that the 11 trains will be able to be up and running by the end of this month?
Well, Alex, I can see progress towards that. Like, you know, Renee mentioned earlier, she's anticipating adding another train this week. You know, you heard what Mario said in the meeting. They're working hard to get us towards the 11, but I have to say that I'm the same as a lot of our riders, and I need to see it. I need to see the 11 trains running without any major issues and people getting back on the trains. And that's what will give me the confidence that you're asking me about.
Thank you. That's my only question today.
Thanks, Alex. We'll now go to Ted Raymond at CTV Ottawa.
Hi there. My first question is going to be for Mr. Guerra, just regarding the repairs on the tracks near Rideau's station. I'm wondering if you could tell me approximately how many comments or complaints you received about the noise and what it is that prompted the decision to do this this replacement. Is this part of the new regime, I suppose, of attending to these kinds of issues more quickly?
Yeah, so thank you for the question. Initially, we received, it was a report from the operator that felt that going through that particular area didn't feel right. There's some vibration, some slipping and whatnot. So when we attended the scene, we noted that there was some visible issues with the top of the rail. And in an effort to be overly cautious, as we are today, there was immediately a speed restriction put into it until we can have more time to analyze the situation and come up with a fix. So we've done that. And the fix, as far as we're concerned, again, being overly cautious, is to replace that section of rail and bring it back to where it should be so that we can make that that issue go away. Until that happens, we will keep the speed restriction in place, and we will do a visual inspection of that track just to see if it's getting any worse every other day.
Okay, thank you for that. And my next question is just for Chair Hubley. So the fare increase is going to be coming through, obviously, but delayed until we get these trains running. Now, obviously, you heard from several people at the meeting today who were opposed to bringing these fares up again. What is the message in terms of going forward with OC Transpo fares continuing to increase while we're still kind of working to, I guess, recover the LRT and some of the other issues that are going on?
Well, I thought Renee and Wendy answered that question really well today. It's part of the long-term financial plan. So if we're going to make the investments that these people are asking for in the system, we have to have a revenue source to do that. Now it's $36 a year on a full price pass. So it's not like, you know, it's as minimal an impact as possible for our riders, this increase. But if we don't do the increase, or if we try to cut the fares back further, someone else has to pay. Now, there's going to be motions coming forward to council where some of the councillors want to raise taxes for people. Ted, I know your station has listeners that call in and they're on fixed incomes or just getting by. They don't want their property taxes going up for a service that they don't even use. So, you know, we have to do a balancing act here at the city. And that balancing act involves very minor increases every year into the plan. Now, when we do the transportation master plan, if the city decides they want to take another look at transit, and let's say next year we find out, you know, half the public servants aren't coming back to work, so our projections have to drop to match that, well, that's a different story. Then we can look at where we're going to scale our costs back so that we don't need as much revenue to operate.
Thank you very much, Ted. On va maintenant passer à Julien Paquette à Le Droit.
Bonjour. La question serait pour Madame Amilcar. J'aimerais vous entendre sur les échanges de courriels qui ont été dévoilés ce matin de votre prédécesseur. Donc, évidemment, vous n'étiez pas avec OC Transport à l'époque, mais j'aimerais vous entendre un peu sur ces messages-là, les échanges qu'il y avait entre M. Malconi et des représentants de RTG, des inquiétudes qu'ils soulevaient par rapport à aux inspections et au nombre d'experts sur le terrain, des problèmes qu'on a pu, des problèmes similaires qu'on a observés un peu plus tard. Donc, est-ce que ça vous lève soulève des inquiétudes de votre côté?
Merci, M. Paquette, pour votre question. Au fait, cette discussion-là, comme vous le dites, avait été faite bien avant mon arrivée. Et je sais par contre qu'à la commission de novembre 2019, il y avait été question. Alors, je demandais à nos relations médias de vous faire parvenir le lien que vous allez pouvoir vous rafraîchir la mémoire à ce niveau-là.
Je vais faire ça. Merci, Julien. Okay, as-tu une autre question?
Oui, I'll ask Councillor Hubley, you know, were you aware of these, worries that were expressed by John Manconi back in the summer of 2019?
Mr. Manconi said several times at Transit Commission and in other media avails that he wanted more techs on the ground, that he saw that as part of the solution to fixing the issues we were having. So what I saw in the story, the parts that I knew about, there was no surprise to me there that he was putting that in emails. I think we're proving now that we needed some more tech support available to get to the trains right away when a door defaults or a brake default, whatever, to do the reset so that we don't have to unload people from the train and you know, delay the whole system by, you know, hours versus minutes.
Great. Thank you very much.
Merci, Julien. Now I'll be going to John Willing at the Ottawa Citizen.
Kina, thank you. Maybe I'll ask Kate's question in a different way. Maybe it's to you, Pat Scrimger. Does staff know when 15 trains are projected to be required under current ridership forecasts?
Um, 15 trains would be required when we get to the level of ridership that we would be expecting in this year if a pandemic weren't in place.
All right. Thank you, Pat. I think maybe another question for you, Pat. You know, we have a free transit month, free fare transit coming up in December. As a transit planner, how are we going to take advantage of this free month to collect data about how people are using the transit system? What's driving their choices between taking transit or taking another mode of transportation Are you planning a kind of a mass data collection during the month of December?
Thanks, John. We're going to be collecting all the data we can, and those data will primarily be from the infrared counters that we have on buses, the infrared counters that we have on fare gates at O-train stations. I said during the meeting that it'll be difficult for us to reach firm conclusions about what people are doing because some people may be traveling more because of the no charge fares. Some people may be traveling more because they're regaining confidence in the O-train service. Some people may be traveling more because of their own personal conditions or other aspects related to public health. They may travel less if the weather turns bad. They may travel more if their alternatives, like if there's icy roads. So we'll collect the data we can. We'll see what people are talking about on social media. If we start to see a lot of people on social media saying, "Hey, I've never ridden the O-train before, and this is the greatest thing ever. Now I'm going to ride transit every day for the rest of my life." That would be the ultimate for us.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you very much, everyone. Merci à tous. Ceci conclut notre point de presse pour aujourd'hui. This concludes our media avail for today. Have a great day.
Thank you, everybody.